The same machine we use to cool down during the hot weather is heating up our planet. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. A report out this week warns extreme heat waves, like the ones many parts of the world have experienced this summer, are likely to worsen over the next three decades. Climate research nonprofit First Street Foundation says by 2023, some 8 million people could experience heat above 125 degrees Fahrenheit. In 30 years, 107 million people will deal with those sweltering temperatures, and most of them will probably want air conditioning. But traditional ACs create more carbon emissions, which create more global warming. Ankit Kalanki is a manager at Third Derivative, a climate tech accelerator. He says there are companies working on updating the technology that keeps us cool.
These companies and these solutions basically use more efficient components like inverter compressors. They use better designs for the heat exchangers, smart sensors and controls, and then lower global warming potential refrigerants, which are a very critical piece of the traditional vapor compression technology. And we were able to see almost a 75% reduction in energy use and an overall 80% reduction in climate impact when you combine the lower global warming potential of the refrigerants these solutions use.
You mentioned refrigerants. Can you talk about what about refrigerants is so key for how we think about the future of air conditioning technology?
Yeah, so refrigerants that are used in these commonly sold air conditioners today, be it in the commercial applications or be it in the residential applications, these are about 1,000 to 2,000 times more potent than carbon dioxide in terms of their global warming potential. And when these equipments get discarded at the end of life, typically the refrigerant just gets leaked into the environment.
What does the global market for air conditioning look like as we consider the climate warming all over?
Globally, we have about 1.6 billion air conditioning units that are operating today. And over the next three decades, we will see this number go up to 5.6 billion air conditioners.
Wow.
So it's almost a four times growth. And within this air conditioner segment, the residential or the room air conditioning segment will see the fastest growth. We have about 1.2 billion room air conditioners or racks operating today, and that will go all the way up to 4.5 billion by 2050. So 3.3 billion more room air conditioners will be added over the next three decades. And this will happen primarily in the developing world, in India, in Indonesia, parts of China, and then in some of the regions of the developed world where, you know, people never thought of buying an AC earlier, like the Pacific Northwest and in the UK and France, where these heat waves now are really, you know, asking people and requiring people to go out and buy an air conditioner now for the first time.
How affordable will this new technology be for the people who need it most, particularly in these developing parts of the world and those that are newly in need of cooling systems for their homes and businesses?
Yeah, so these new units will definitely be costlier on the upfront cost, because they will either use new componentry, they will require new manufacturing facilities to mass produce these units while the demand builds up. And therefore, they are likely to be costlier, maybe up to two times or even higher in some cases, compared to these traditional air conditioning units that are most commonly sold today. This is where we have to change the consumer's approach to looking at ACs. We have to shift away from the upfront cost to a life cycle cost analysis and understanding when we are making a purchasing decision of air conditioners. Because these air conditioners that are three or five times more efficient than traditional or the commonly sold ACs They are much cheaper to operate over the 10-year lifetime of these ACs. And you can have a payback period in under 3 years, even if the upfront cost is 2 times more than these traditional ACs that are out there.
But that's not an option for everyone. People can figure out that something's more cost-effective over the lifetime of it, but if you don't have the difference in funds on the upfront, it doesn't make much of a difference.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's where there are two additional levers that will be key to really make these novel solutions affordable for consumers. So we need to do more on the policy side, where the performance standards need to be stretched, the performance ladders need to be stretched, so that we can really ensure that the high efficiency units are appropriately categorized and consumers can really differentiate between the energy savings of these high efficiency units. And also, innovative financing mechanisms, you know, will play a key role in making these units affordable for people. You know, innovative mechanisms like on-bill financing, where the local utilities can actually jump in and spread out this upfront cost over the monthly electricity bills that the consumers pay, you know, after offsetting the energy savings that they are able to achieve, can really go a long way in accelerating the adoption of these new and efficient air conditioners.
The recent Inflation Reduction Act, which was just passed into law, allocates hundreds of billions of federal dollars for climate technology. How are clean tech startups, including your accelerator and similar ones, going to feel the impact of all this new investment?
Yeah, so with all these incentives, all these tax credits, all the rebates that we are seeing across the entire climate tech space, we'll start seeing a spike in the demand for the climate-friendly solutions from large corporates, from businesses, from institutions. And we will likely, as a result of that, see more and more startups that will enter this climate tech space. And more VCs who are willing to invest in these innovations. All of this just translates to a huge role and a bigger role for climate accelerators, who are actually at the center of bringing together all these stakeholders, the startups, the corporates, the off-takers, the VCs, to kind of speed and scale innovations to market.
On Kit Kalonki at Third Derivative. And now for some related links. At the top of the show, I mentioned a recent study by the climate research nonprofit First Street Foundation. We'll have a link to it on our website, marketplacetech.org. And in case you didn't catch our recent episode about heat pumps, which are also upending the HVAC market, we'll also link to it on our site. Now, this whole conversation I had with Ankit Kalonki focused solely on clean technology in air conditioners. But Fast Company has an article that presents a whole different alternative to keeping a space cool: windows. The article highlights how, in the near future, some windows, through coatings or films, will be able to conserve heat in cold weather and also reflect heat away during the summer, all while keeping the light flowing in. A cool idea, but what does that mean for my houseplants? I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.